So we enter into the last discourse for number two. I have a great story for you. These stories I tell to you over and over and over again in hopes that they will enrich themselves within you. They will find greater understanding within you. Of course, some people listen to these stories and go, yeah, I've heard that before. But they have great significance. So that kind of attitude will not work. It will not help you. And the whole effort is to help you. So if you are willing to listen and truly understand what it means to create, to do anything without possessing what you have done, then something of the beauty of you will start to shine. The goodness of you, the blessing of you. Listen to what Lao Tzu says before we begin. The secret awaits those who have no desire. The secret awaits for those who have no desire. Yes, this is a powerful insight. This is a powerful state of inner goodness. And if you're willing of this inner goodness, if this is the premise of your practice, then something is going to happen. Something magnificent. Listen to what the Tao states and understand. Work without making people dependent upon you. Make no claim, he says, for the things you do. The sage demands no honor for his deeds because he demands no honor. He is never dishonored. Yes. With one comes the other. This is very, very important for us to understand. When I am not in the realm of seeking admiration for whatever it is I do, I come into a place where true creativity can live. To discover what creativity is, to allow it to just emerge from us as a means for love. And it is all about love. Everything is about the achievement of a great love within you. This love makes no demands. It does not possess what it does. Now listen to me. You may be very talented. You may be very skilled. But until you and I enter into the realm of creativity, of doing true creativity without trying to gain some sort of admiration for it, to add to our admiration, our need for recognition, we have, well, destroyed our creativity. And this is very important for us to understand. Let me read you the story and then we'll get into it further. Now, this story was told to me many, many years ago in a discourse by my master, and I will never forget it, because it really rang a bell. It happened in a village that a poor boy, the son of a beggar, was young and healthy. He was so young and so healthy that when the king's elephant passed through the village with the king on it, he would catch a hold of the elephant's tail, and it would not be able to move. Sometimes it became very embarrassing to the king because he would be sitting on the elephant and the whole marketplace would gather and people would laugh because the son of a beggar stopped the procession of the king on this elephant. Well, the king was upset. So he called his prime minister. Something had to be done. He said, "This is insulting. I've become afraid to go through the village because that boy sometimes comes to embarrass me by holding the tail of that elephant that I ride. And sometimes when I go to other villages, he shows up there as well. Anywhere at any time, he can catch a hold of the elephant's tail and it won't move." He said, "This boy is so powerful. Something has to be done to drain his energy." Well, the prime minister thought about it. "I will have to go and consult a wise man because I don't know how to drain his energy. He's just a beggar. If he had a shop, that would drain his energy. If he was working as a clerk in an office, that would drain his energy. If he were a master in a primary school, then his energy could be drained. But he does nothing all day. He just lives for fun. And people love him and feed him, so he's never short of food. He's happy. He eats and sleeps. So it is difficult, but I will go and figure something out." So he went to an old wise man in the village. The man said, "Well, do one thing. Go and tell the boy that you will give him 1 golden rupee every day if he will do a small job. And the job is really, really simple. He has to go to the village temple and light the lamp. That's it." Well, they told him that. And the young man took the rupee and became very excited about it all. "You give him a rupee," said the old man, "and he will start to become more energetic. But not for long, because he won't have to beg. And pretty soon, he will start to worry about whether or not he has 1 rupee or 2 rupees or 3 rupees. He will start counting. He will start saving. He will start using these rupees and wanting more and more." So the king thought, after hearing what the wise man had said to his minister, "I'll give it a try." So it was done. He gave the young man a rupee to go light the light in the temple for day in and day out. And the young man became dependent upon this rupee. He enjoyed the whole idea of being able to earn a rupee. It was big to him. But the next week, when the king tried to pass, the boy tried to stop the elephant by grabbing its tail, but he failed and it was dragged along by the elephant. What happened? An anxiety entered into the young man. He could eat more, he could have more because he had a rupee, 2 rupees, 3 rupees. His energies didn't belong to him anymore. They belonged to the whole idea that he could wear finer clothes, eat better food, do things he never was able to do before because he had money to spend. And his energy got drained slowly, slowly. You know how this works. whatever you have to do to earn a living drains you, hurts you. And even if you have nothing to do, the guilt and the shame about all of that deep inside the unconscious mind starts to work on you. Just think if you did a little more, if you kept yourself busy. You have to keep the ego, the pride, the vanity busy. Always something to do. And when you have nothing to do, that's when the devil's workshop starts to work in us. We discover all sorts of crazy things inside of us that we never knew we had. I want you to think about this with me. How much have you done in your life without having a reward, without thinking to yourself, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Would you do things for free? Would you help for free? What would you do if you had the chance to do things, somebody else paying you, somebody else taking care of you? Would you do things for nothing? Probably for a little while, but after a while you would think to yourself, well, why should I do that? It doesn't benefit me. So why should I do anything? Why should you take the time to do anything? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? How free could you be to do anything for how long? And then, would I make it a chore? Would I make it an obligation? I have people who say to me that their time with me is obligated. They feel obligated. How sad, how utterly sad. And they resent their donations. They resent being kind. They resent having to put themselves out to do something that really they'd just rather sit at home and do nothing. And that's as far as they'll ever go with the state of their life. I have many of these people. They just don't get it. They just don't understand, nor do they care to. This deep secret awaits those who have no desire, as Lhotse said. What does this mean? It means I don't do things to gain recognition. This is what Lhotse is saying. So the sage acts without doing, teaches without speaking, attends all things without making claim on them, works for them without making them dependent upon him, demands no honor for his deeds. Because he demands no honor, he will never be dishonored. All of this is very, very important. And how few people can do this. How few people are willing to do this. Most people simply do not have the effort, the willingness to do anything other than what they do, which is to do everything for the sake of profit. And that's all they can do. What's in it for me kind of thing. This is a subtle attitude that many, many people have. And if you look deep inside of you, you will see, why would I do anything that didn't add to my ego, add to my repertoire of what people think of me? You want people to like you, to honor you, to respect you for maybe the talent you have or the skills you have. But you forget, you deeply forget the meaning and the significance of utter simplicity. Don't let things drain your energy. Don't let desire drain your energy. Don't allow the desire to be comfortable, happy, wealthy. Don't let that get in the way. Find ways to let love live all the way through your life. To give, to forgive, to be merciful. I have a student, an attendee, who started to offer their energies to serve humankind. I urged this person to do it. They had nothing to do. All day just sitting there watching TV. So I said, do something. Find something you can do to give. Well, at first this was like pulling teeth. But after a while, this person found something and saw in the faces of the people that this person was doing for a great gratitude. Some people wanted to take advantage of it. Others were grateful, humble. This person reported to me at session, I had no idea what doors this would open in me. Doors of mercy and compassion. This person said to me, I've heard you talk about this over and over and over again, but I didn't really understand until I saw it in the eyes of people who truly realized how beautiful it is, how prayerful it is to give and receive, both back and forth. Soon, this person found that many of the people did not really understand the generosity of it all. But a few of them came and helped, stood by this person's side, and became a part of that experience of giving, of sharing, of helping others. And then my little student said to me, I had no idea. I became a student in that moment, this person said, because I finally understood those who are ready to do something magnificent, those who are willing to do something beyond their selfish pride, those people who are working beyond the old ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, trying to get something for everything they do, these are the great people. And now I'm surrounded by three or four of them, and we work together to serve. Yes. The ambition is gone. The pride is gone. It has dwindled ever so slightly. But now they are doing things not because they should, but because they can. And that is a true miracle in a person, to do something because you can and not because you should. I hope that rang a little bell in you. Lhotse is right. The secret of the universe, the secret of all benevolent goodness, of virtue, awaits those who have no desire. Let's meditate together. Yes, there is a part of you, I understand, that wants credit for everything they do, that wants to believe that no matter what they do, they should gain some sort of merit for it. but let the merit be in what you're doing and not because of what you're doing. To do without doing. To end the conflict within you of right over wrong, good over bad, deserving over undeserving. Just let it all go. I hope this helps you. Let's meditate. The secret awaits those who have no desire.